¡Vamos, amigos! How we doing today? How are we doing today? This is the Talking Soccer Podcast. I am your host, Duke. And Marcus Rashford has just broken the hearts of all the Chelsea Blues fans around the world. Two goals, one penalty, one banger of a free kick. He's a man amongst boys, and he's just a boy. He's a god amongst mortals. He's the savior of a club in trouble since Sir Alex left. He's our number 10. He's Marcus Rashford. And yeah, you can probably tell. It is Wednesday evening. It is 6:42 in the p.m. I'm getting jacked up for Atlanta United in the Eastern Conference Finals tonight. But we got a lot to talk about here, boys. We got a lot to talk about, including last week's EPL action with a quick recap, this week's EPL action, and we'll do a little betting stuff at the end. But United have just defeated Chelsea in the EFL Cup. The first beer was just cracked. ATL in a few hours. It's a good time to beat your boy Duke, I'll tell you that. But before we do that, let's talk a little promo work. Of course, you can find me on Twitter, at DukeDFS. You can find my DFS action, which has been crushing all season long, but especially of late, over at EliteFantasy.com, and all of my betting action over at EliteSportsBetting.com. Put in 5 bets today. Right now, we're sitting 2-2, profitable on the day. Got a little bit unlucky with a bonkers 5-5 Liverpool game, where obviously they tied extra in regular time. No win is awarded. Liverpool do win the game and penalty kicks, but we don't get the win, unfortunately, for the bet. But what the hell is going on with that? EFL Cup, man. Say what you want about the EFL Cup. You could say it doesn't matter. You could say it's a second or third type of trophy, but it's still a trophy. It's still a competition. It's important for these big clubs to blood their young players, get them some experience in a hell of a game. Liverpool, Arsenal. And for those who didn't watch, of course, Arsenal falls behind early, then jumps out to, I think, a 3-1 lead before Liverpool grab 2 goals back. Arsenal then scores again to make it 5-4. And you're thinking, well, that's done and dusted, right? 70th minute? Nope. 94th minute. Divock Origi with the goal. What is it with this guy in scoring big goals in big cup competitions? Then, of course, head the penalty kicks. No extra time. No replays in the EFL Cup. Bellerin makes. Milner makes. Guendouzi makes. Lallana makes. Martinelli, who was brilliant today, makes. Ryan Brewster makes. Danny Ceballos, goalkeeper save. Divock Origi makes his. It's now 4-3 Liverpool. Ansley Maitland-Niles, who was, again, brilliant today for Arsenal, scores to make it 4-4. Then the youngster, Curtis Jones, steps up to win it all and send Liverpool to the next round of the EFL Cup. Boom, buries it home, 5-4. It's just so Arsenal, isn't it? I mean, hell of a performance from Arsenal for 60 minutes, 50 minutes, 54 minutes, up 4-2, cruising. Ansley Maitland-Niles makes it 4-2. Curtis Jones comes in. Naby Keita goes off. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, banger of a goal. Banger of a goal. Just 4 minutes later, Origi makes it 4-4. And then Arsenal battle back. So I don't know whether to give credit to Emery for keeping his guys focused, positive, motivated, or just say, this is so Emery. Dude, you're up 4-2. Organize your team. Don't concede. What the hell are you doing? Another eventful day in the EFL Cup. But hey, let's talk some EPL. And before we get to that, look, I was away this past weekend on a business trip in Scottsdale. With the time change and the potential for some heavy entertaining, we'll call it, this was bound to happen. I told the guys, I said, look, I'm usually there every single Saturday in the chat room with you guys. We talk through plays. We do a bunch of stuff. It's looking iffy at best if I'm going to be there. Of course, nowhere near. I was dead to the world for both Saturday and Sunday for chat room. But I let you guys know going into it. And that's big for two reasons. Number one, I don't want to leave you high and dry. I am there week in and week out. We're trying to win together, right? But first, what happens in the chat room over at EliteFantasy.com? A lot. A lot. Obviously, I put articles out. We put cheat sheets out for every weekend's slate so you have an idea of who we're looking at. But as always, these managers, I say it week in, week out, Never trust these managers. When we think they're going to zig, they zag. Why? Because they're trying to look smart. They're trying to look important. Maybe it's a little bit of squad rotation, especially as we head in to the congested fixture schedule over the holidays. But inevitably, they change formations. They change a right back, and he's playing now on the left back, so now he's no longer a decent play, or a matchup's change. We talk about all these little things in the chat room, and it's not just play this guy, play this guy, play this guy. It's why is it a good play? What matchup are we looking to? What games are we looking to exploit? If there's going to be a high-owned player, first of all, let's recognize that. Second of all, is it a worthy chalk-eating spot, or is there an opportunity for us to have maybe a low range or even a bust type game for a chalk player? And do we avoid that altogether? Do we grab a share if we're making five lineups? Do we have one lineup, three lineups, four? We talk through everything. And most importantly, we talk changes. It's good to have a plan until you get punched in the face. Then you got to figure it out. And we only have 60 minutes from when the team news is released until lock to make these crucial last second decisions. Sometimes they work out. Sometimes they don't. But again, I'm not giving you a lineup. I'm giving you ideas, recommendations, and you're making your own lineup. Second, yeah, I definitely didn't make it to the chat room. Okay, for starters, Arizona, different time zone, very early in the morning. What exactly are you doing to Arizona? Legalize DFS. There was no legal DFS in Arizona. I didn't know that. I knew it eventually when I went there. So I couldn't even play these four money contests on Saturday. And look, honey, if you're listening, we did not go to strip clubs. Absolutely not. Definitely didn't go. Nope, nope, nope. Definitely not. Wink. But it was a good time had by all. But look, legalized DFS, Arizona. There's Indian reservations everywhere. There were as many Indian reservation casinos as there are Waffle Houses in Atlanta. And if you've been to Atlanta, it's every single corner. So it's not like they're anti-gambling. They're just anti-DFS. And DFS isn't gambling. It's a skill game. Don't even give me that stuff. But anyways, I say that to say this. I told you guys ahead of time I was not going to be in the chat room. I was not in the chat room, and you were on your own. How'd we do? I got to pull up this tweet from my boy Micah. First of all, appreciate the shout out on Twitter. But Micah says, at Duke DFS, this is on Twitter, doesn't just give us the plays. He helps teach us to think about the optimal approach so when he's unavailable, we can use his guide and work through to a result. One happy student today. Congratulations to Micah. He went light intentionally because he knew I wasn't going to be in the chat room, only played $9.50. How'd he do? Well, 10x his money, $93.50. Let's assume that was his bankroll. He's now free rolling for the next 10 weeks by building his own lineup with his own thought process based on information I gave him and what he thought could happen in the slate, right? The assumption we make over at elitefantasy.com isn't that you're dumb, isn't that you don't know anything. It's that you know a ton, but maybe could use a little help in certain areas, or just use our information to compare against your projections to figure out what you're going to do for that weekend slate. We're not going to give you lineups. We're going to give you help. We're going to give you information and say, turn this clay into a pot. Whatever you want to do, go nuts. And Micah had a great weekend, so congratulations to Micah. I don't know if you guys don't need me anymore. I mean, if you're doing it on your own, that's a little bit worrisome to me. But no, seriously, congratulations to Micah. And I appreciate the shout out on Twitter. But that's what we do in the chat room. And if you aren't signed up yet, go sign up over at elitefantasy.com. So anyways, let's do some math. What is it to sign up over at elitefantasy.com? Well, right now, the soccer package alone by itself is $24.99 per month. Pretty good deal if you want to just try it out, put your toe in the water. Sign up for that. I recommend that. If you want to jump in the water, or if you understand math, sign up for the annual package. I'm telling you, this is insane value. I was literally arguing with the higher-ups to raise this price. It's $149.97 for the annual package. And that says annual, not season package. So right now, it's what, end of October? We're heading into November. We still have a good 5.5-6 months left of the season. $149.97 is great value, but this is an annual subscription. So that's literally 365 days. So if you sign up today, you will have the rest of this season, all of our content throughout the summer, which will be, you know, MLS, Euro competitions, internationals, everything that pops up in the summer, and then the start of next EPL's season. Like I said, we got articles, cheat sheets, we got 24/7 chat room. can cancel anytime. Heck of a deal over there. Also, one last thing before we start talking about last weekend's action. Shout out to Phoenix Strippers. That's a Twitter handle on, obviously, Twitter. They liked my picture because I took a no filter, hashtag no filter, basic bitch picture of this house. This house was sick, man. Sick. Nice pool, hot tub, bunch of areas we can chip around, chip golf balls around, knock the soccer ball around, bunch of bedrooms, big old grand piano that played itself. That was kind of cool. Took a picture of the house. Phoenix Strippers liked the picture. Got to like the hustle. I got to say, if you're at work, don't click through the media of at Phoenix Strippers on Twitter. If you're at home, knock yourself out. It's a fun account. But anyways, let's talk last week's games because we had a ton of important results. Starting off with an absolute banger on Friday, played in an absolute torrential downpour, hurricane-type winds and rain. Leicester, 9-0 over Southampton. Two hat tricks, one from Jamie Vardy, one from Iosi Perez, and Youri Tielemans with a goal and an assist. And he did more than that in the game, which I happened to watch. You got to ask yourself, why weren't the big boys banging down the doors of Monaco to take Tielemans off their hands? I understand that perhaps he had a relationship with Leicester already, considering he was there for the second half of last year. But we saw him do it last year. He's Premier League proven, which is so huge for all these teams. The excuse that's always made, well, it's going to take time for him to settle and adjust. Can he do it? The physical nature of the Prem. Tielemans did it for 6 months. Why the heck weren't teams banging down the doors? And now he's crushing it with Leicester. Shout out to Brandon Rodgers for turning this team around. It was just, what, 4 to 5 years ago that Leicester were just this tiny little club who came out of nowhere to win the Prem. The longest shot in the history of long shots. They're sitting in third right now on 20 points and looking dominant in a lot of these games. Big result for Leicester. Not so great for Southampton, who, only have to go to Man City this weekend. Tough couple weeks for them. But speaking of Man City, they did beat Aston Villa 3-0. David Silva, Sterling Gundogan with some goals. Brighton, great result over Everton, 3-2. When's the last time you saw one game with two own goals? Adam Webster got an own goal. Lucas Digne got an own goal. Webster's unfortunate, a little bit of a deflection. Lucas Digne heading back towards his own goal, trying to clear it out, right in there. That was a third and unfortunately final goal for Brighton, nail in the coffin. Watford, Bournemouth, what can we say about these two teams? Bournemouth, super inconsistent. Watford can't score a goal to save their life. Probably a fair result for both teams. I'm sure Bournemouth would have just taken a point, even though Watford is trash this year, being that it was a road match. Watford, I guess they'll take the point, but my God, they got to start scoring goals. West Ham, Sheffield. Sheffield continued to impress. 1-1 draw there. Robert Snodgrass gets the start, scores a goal. And that boy, Mousset, man, I'm telling you, he is Sheffield's best chance at scoring goals as a forward. I understand the work rate of Callum Robinson. I understand Billy Sharp's the club hero, but he's 50. Give this man a start this weekend. Hint, hint, perhaps he'll make the article. But for those who didn't see, kind of a snapshot by Mousset. Goes back post, trickles one in the goal, picks up the tie there. Burnley-Chelsea. Did not expect this to be a shootout, but Fat Frank, attack, attack, attack. The story of the game here, it was a 4-2 win for Chelsea, has to be little baby Jesus, Christian Pulisic. Three goals, not one, not two, but three. And it was actually 4-0 before McNeil and Rodriguez scored two late goals. Tremendous performance by Chelsea. Good win there. Newcastle 1-1 over Wolves. Johnny scoring a goal late there to tie the game up. What is going on with Miggy Almiron? I mean, we have Atlanta United here in a couple hours in the Eastern Conference Final. Can we please take back Miggy? Miggy, almost a year and a half in now. Zero goals, zero. I guess it's only a year. He transferred in January. A year in now. Zero goals, zero assists for Newcastle. Still working his socks off for the team, but man, find the score sheet, son. Good draw there for Newcastle. I guess Wolves will take the point as well. Interesting result here. Arsenal 2-2 with Crystal Palace. Arsenal jumped out to an early two-goal lead, looked to be coasting before Palace comes back. Milivojevic might be the best penalty taker in the entire world, bags another one. And then Jordan Ayew grabs a header for 5-6 Jordan Ayew. late in the game to make it 2-2. Once again, scratching your head about Arsenal, just cannot hold on to a lead. They play such beautiful football. And yes, both their goals came from corner kicks, set pieces, I believe. But to get out to an early lead and then concede two at home, God, what the hell's going on there? Speaking of what's going on, Spurs actually jumped out to an amazing start. Just a minute into the game, Harry Kane bags a goal on a diving header on a ball that was shot by Son, deflected off a defender, hits the crossbar, bounces back to the middle. The instinctive Harry Kane is there to bag the goal, only to be undone by goals from Salah and Henderson. I think that was a PK from Salah, too. Liverpool maintained their big lead. Now to 6 points over Man City in the table. 2-1 there. Good home win for Liverpool. And then last but not least, Manchester United. Big old win, 3-1 over Norwich. Rashi grabs a goal. Martial's back, grabs a goal. Scott McSauce-Tominay. I don't know. We got to work on that nickname. But Scott McTominay grabs a goal. And then Hernandez, who may get a shout-out later in the podcast, comes on in the second half and grabs a goal back for Norwich. But the damage was done. 3-0. Norwich grabs a goal late, make it 3-1. United can't keep the clean sheet. Little worrying piece there, but good result nonetheless. So how are we looking at the table right now? Well, Liverpool do maintain a 6-point lead over Man City. Leicester is in third at 20 points, tied with 20 points with Chelsea, just ahead on goal differential. Leicester sitting at plus 17. Chelsea only at plus 7. With 20 points. Interesting there. Arsenal sitting fifth, Crystal Palace sixth. United, Sheffield, Bournemouth, and West Ham round out the top 10. Tottenham, Wolves, Burnley, Brighton, Villa, Everton, and Newcastle at this moment are safe. Southampton, Norwich, and Watford sitting in the relegation zone. So, knowing that, we head into this weekend's games. Let's talk a little bit from a betting angle where we're at right now. First of all, 8:30 game in the morning, Manchester United away to Bournemouth. Bournemouth hosting. Bournemouth plus 230. Man United plus 120 there. 2.5 total with some juice on the over. What do we think from this game? Well, we have two teams heading in opposite directions. Bournemouth inconsistent as always. We thought perhaps they were going to lose this inconsistency with some steady performances early. Back to their old ways. Man United getting hot at the right time with their win today at Chelsea. 3 wins on the trot. United are away favorites, so perhaps that's where we go. From a betting perspective, I don't know that I'm going to attack this game. Just haven't seen enough from United on the road. From a DFS perspective, obviously it's not on the main slate, so we'll do a separate showdown chat in the chat room there Saturday morning. Ryan Fraser's back. Bournemouth just haven't scored goals, and we go into detail, obviously, on all these games and the breakdowns, more so in the article, which will be out Thursday on elitefantasy.com. But Bournemouth just haven't been scoring goals. I think they have 1 goal in their last 4 games. Callum Wilson, get off the schneid, bud. You got to score some goals to give Bournemouth a chance. Now, head into the main slate, the 11 o'clock games. Arsenal hosting Wolves. Arsenal minus 140 favorites. Wolves plus 400. 2.5 total, minus 140 juice on the over there. The total is a little curious to me. I had it at about 3 with minus 110 on the over, so clearly that's where I'm leaning right now. Also, the game line's a bit interesting. Knowing that Arsenal concede as they do, and Wolves, actually the scoring is up on the road, I thought this would be a little bit closer of a line. Perhaps Wolves around the plus 250, plus 300 range, plus 400 seems like decent value there. Don't know that they'll win the game, but certainly there'll be goals here to be had. How about Aston Villa, plus 700? Hosting Liverpool, minus 260. 3 total here, minus 115 juice on the over. I've been impressed with Villa, specifically their midfielders, John McGinn and Jack Grealish. Up top, I still think Wesley's not quite the answer for a top-level Premier League forward, but they're getting goals from all angles. Don't see them winning this game, but Liverpool were able to rest Bobby Firmino, Mo Salah, and Sadio Mane for their EFL Cup midweek match. So I expect them to have a full-strength squad, whereas Villa were trotting out some pretty decent players here on Tuesday, I believe, for their match. Liverpool should take down the win there, but maybe closer than the experts think. And that brings us to Brighton, minus 140, hosting Norwich City. Total sitting at 3, minus 145 juice on the under, plus 120 on the over. Interesting total there as well. Obviously, Norwich conceding left and right. really having a tough time scoring goals. First of all, they can't get points. So as a manager, you got to be heading into, you know, the training room, into, you know, the screen room, into the video sessions and saying, what are we doing wrong? How can we improve? Well, they've chosen to try to tighten up the back a little bit. And unfortunately, what that's done is left Pukki all by himself up top. Pukki, who came out guns blazing, 5 goals in the first 3 games, is extremely isolated, especially against the big boys, but even more so against teams that they should be able to compete with. You know, I praised Norwich early for their bustling style, their attacking style. They've gone away from that a little bit, and it's nullified the abilities of some of their best players, players like Buendia, Cantwell, Pukki. There's a big gap between Pukki and the rest of his team, and I'm hoping that goes away against this matchup here with Brighton, but be careful what you wish for, because Brighton are playing some beautiful football themselves. It was just a couple weeks ago, they took Tottenham to behind the woodshed, bent him over, and made him their daddy. Brighton minus 140 at home is probably an appropriate line. I don't really see a ton of value there. I do think Brighton's going to win the game. Trossard is back and taking over set-piece duty from Pascal Gross, most likely. The total's an interesting one. I might stay away from that one, but I'll be looking to grab some shares of Brighton here. Next game, Man City minus 950, Southampton plus 2,500. Big old total of 4 with minus 115. I wrote minus 1,125. I don't think that's accurate. Southampton stinks, man. They're just in bad shape. I think they might be looking for a new manager come Christmas. They had a little bit of a purple patch somewhere around early September, I believe it was. And ever since then, they've been struggling. I mean, outside of a 3-game stretch where they beat Brighton and Sheffield and then tied Man United, they've picked up 1 point from 7 games. I mentioned earlier they're in 18th place, sitting in the relegation zone on 8 points. I don't think they're going to be moving up the table on this week. City, on the other hand, just obliterating teams at home. 2 goals, 4 goals, 8 goals, 0 goals, and then 3 goals. We do have the one outlier there with the 0 goals at home. But other than that, they've just been running the train on anyone that comes to the Etihad. I think it'll continue here on Saturday. Obviously, we're going to grab some shares here from a DFS perspective. Pricing way, way up. I mentioned one player that I'm going to be targeting who might be obvious, but maybe not, because the price is that high here later when we talk some DFS. Second to last game on the main slate, Sheffield United plus 115, Burnley plus 275. The joke that immediately popped in my head is the Spider-Man meme, where Spider-Man's looking at another Spider-Man. They're pointing at each other. I mean, these two teams are eerily similar. Sheffield's basically taken a playbook from Burnley and said, how are we going to stay up? Well, let's be extremely organized. Let's put a ton of crosses in the box, and let's be decent on set pieces, efficient on set pieces. Sheffield are sitting in 8th place in the table. This is a team that was newly promoted into the Premier League. You got to say, big old claps for Sheffield United for their performance thus far. I actually don't hate Burnley in this game. To be honest, they're plus 275, like I said, away dogs. Total is a 2 with minus 145 juice on the over. You know, I think, honestly, this could easily be 0-0. It could be, you know, 1-0. It could be 1-1. I'm not touching this total with a 10-foot pole. You know, if it jumps up to 2.5 with some juice on the under, you know, I'll probably be like minus 115 on the under, 2.5. I may look to that. Not a game necessarily we really want to target in volume from a DFS perspective, but from a defender goalkeeper perspective, maybe we can take some shots here. Maybe we can take some shots there. Can't wait to actually watch that game. If you like pitcher's duels, if you like defensive battles, Big Ten football, this is a game for you. Last game of the main slate, West Ham minus 110, Newcastle plus 315. 2.5 total, minus 120 on the over. Obviously, the first team I've been mentioning in all these is the home team, West Ham at home. Got to get a win here, right? Got to get a win. They've been spreading these goals around. And honestly, I think if they can get Sebastian Haller off the mark again, they're going to be pretty tough. They're sitting in 10th right now, but I think they're a team that can compete for Europe. They can start getting consistent production from their forward positions. They have a ton of wingers, right? Anderson, Snodgrass, Yarmolenko. They got Lanzini and Fernals, who were basically overlapping positions. There's a lot of moving parts. I guess it's good for rotation, keeping people fresh, but I think it's struggling. It's giving them some struggles as far as continuity, knowing where players are going to be and having that familiarity with each other. And I think it's hurt Sebastian Haller. If he can get off the mark, this is 1,000% a win for West Ham. I might be leaning there anyway from a betting perspective, but we'll have to find out. 1:30 p.m., Watford host Chelsea. Watford, bottom of the table, plus 380. Chelsea only minus 145 favorites on the road, and that would be why. They're away from home. They're young. Tammy Abraham has cooled off tremendously. Maybe Mason Mount can jump back in. Pulisic grabbed his three goals. Batshuayi scored a goal today, a banger of a goal. Total sitting at three, plus 105 on the over, minus 125 on the under. Certainly got to lean Chelsea here, right? This is a game I think will be fireworks regardless. Watford really missed Troy Deeney, and that's a sentence I never thought I'd say. They really struggle without a true number nine, but especially Deeney's hold-up play as they're constantly penned in and looking for that target to get them out of trouble. Deeney picking up fouls, you know, just being ornery, causing those center backs a bunch of trouble, right? So whenever he can come back, which is looking like around the Thanksgiving time, it'll be a boost from them. But Kike Sanchez-Flores has shored up the back a touch. I don't know that this game's going to have shootout potential because I just don't think Watford can score. I think Chelsea can easily grab a couple goals here in this matchup, but certainly a Chelsea win looks likely. So from a DFS perspective, we're not going to go too in-depth here. I got to save all the good stuff for my subs over at elitefantasy.com, but let's do a couple plays that I like at each position, forward, midfield, and defender. And you might be looking at forward and immediately go to Pascal Gross, who we've been using every single week for the last 3 weeks, basically since Trossard went out. You say Gross has been killing it for us. Surely he's in play. You're sort of right. You're sort of right. He could be in play, but that's only if Trossard doesn't start. And I think he will, and they could play together, but I'm not paying 8-2 for Pascal Gross, regardless if Trossard is out or not. For me, I'm hoping Trossard starts. Even if they play together, I'm taking the savings, dropping down to the 6.8K over on DK. He has just as much upside, goal upside. He looked fresh when he came on in, even off an injury. He certainly will take over set piece duty. 6.8K under 7K for a cash option. I'll take Trossard there. Brighton, home favorite. Boom, give it to me. Now, I mentioned we want to play some City players. There's a lot of different ways you can play this. Certainly, from a cash perspective, you could go De Bruyne. You know, you could grab a defender and De Bruyne and then maybe Ederson and say, all right, I'm just going to kind of grab my City exposure there. Or you could go with Sergio Aguero. And that's likely where I'm heading. 11K, very, very steep. But there's a lot of value elsewhere that I'm looking at that's going to be in my article on Thursday over at elitefantasy.com that can justify this price. For starters, Aguero got a start this week in the EFL Cup. Bagged two more goals Tuesday. This guy scores goals when he plays. Southampton just conceded 9 to Leicester. City are flying right now. There's value elsewhere. I'm okay paying up for this. Maybe even in cash for Sergio Aguero. Might seem like the obvious play, but we got to figure out the top end plays. And for me, I'd rather target City than Liverpool, who have a much tougher matchup against Aston Villa and also Liverpool on the road as well. So as far as the spend ups go, that's where I'm going, Sergio. Now, as far as midfield goes, the obvious play, De Bruyne, Sterling, okay, those are obvious, right? Let's look elsewhere. Who else is in play? For me, I mentioned him earlier, Jack Grealish is in a good spot for GPP, if not cash. For one, he's under $6,000, so that's pretty good. We're talking about value plays. That's right in that range. It's a tough matchup against Liverpool, as I mentioned, but you have to look back to games that are similar to what his matchup's going to be. And for me, Arsenal are a little bit of Liverpool light. They're certainly not as good as Liverpool. They play relatively similar brands. They have relatively similar, what do you say, fantasy production from a defensive and attacking point of view. So I look to this as a probably closest comp for the games that Grealish has played. And then when he played Arsenal, he had an assist. He picked up 2 shots assisted, 3 crosses, 5 fouls drawn, 1 tackle, 1 interception. He's going to need this type of game for Villa to succeed. And they're at home. And that stat line that I just mentioned got him 18.8 points. For under 6K, that's over 3X in this scenario. So let's say he doesn't get the assist, right? Liverpool keep the clean sheet, but Grealish, and this is a fair baseline we could say for him, 2 shots assisted, 3 cross, couple fouls drawn, tackle, 1 interception. That's still a 2X day I'll take a 2x day in cash. In GPP, he has the goal upside. Sure, he can grab an assist. Looking for that 3x type of player, I like the spot for Jack Grealish. As far as my next play, I'm going to give you two because they're exactly the same price. And these are deeper GPP plays. But there's two players I like. Ono Hernandez from Norwich and Lucas Torreira from Arsenal. Two very different type of players, but similar production in different ways. Both fiery competitors, both physical freaks. Torreira can run forever. He's tenacious. He's a pit bull. Takes free kicks from time to time. Hernandez, big old burly, stocky, short dude who is all gas, no brakes. He made a difference when he came on for those 45 minutes. Looked direct, looked capable. For 4.8K for both of these players in two different contests, maybe Torreira even sneaks into a cash spot if he starts. I'm looking to grab some shares here. Torreira also popped up with a goal today in the EFL Cup. Granted, it was 5-5. Everyone scored. But just an FYI, he's in my player pool at the moment. Granit Xhaka plays a very similar position that Torreira plays. If you didn't see it last week, booed off the field by his home fans, told him to F off, threw his jersey on the ground. Not a good scene. I wouldn't be surprised if Unai Emery gives him the week off. Says, let this cool down. Torreira can follow up on his great performance here on Wednesday with a start as a home favorite against Wolves on Saturday. Now, jumping down to defense. I do like Aaron Cresswell this week. In my article, I talk about Newcastle conceding from set pieces. Obviously, Cresswell takes some set pieces, specifically direct set pieces. I think he does have some upside in this game, assuming he starts, if Masuaku doesn't start. So for his price, just under the super high-end defenders, I'm going here from a GPP and cash perspective. I also think this is a decent spot for Eric Peters. And don't laugh. Number one, he's 4K. Not super expensive. Obviously, there's a ton of fullbacks who are a little bit cheaper who can probably have similar production. But for me, Sheffield play their 3-4-3 formation, so perhaps he battles with Baldock all day. But I expect Burnley, like I mentioned, to kind of press forward, to be on the front foot, to look for that win. Sheffield don't attack a ton. And if Peters can get forward at 4K, he can go for 2X. He can pick up an assist or two in this situation. Chris Wood's been absolutely on fire. If Ashley Barnes does play, I know he's a little bit dinged up at the minute. Two tremendous targets for Eric Peters to look for with that patented left foot that he has. Not a lock spot, not a guaranteed spot. But again, we'll save the real juicy stuff for the subs over at elitefantasy.com. But that's just a taste of who I like on this shape or this slate as it shapes up here for an 11 a.m. kickoff on Saturday. So let's talk some betting. Look, I've given you a ton of winners over the weeks. I think this is episode 35 or something like that. Way, way, way above 60% for the picks I've given out. So I'm not going to give out any picks today. I'm just going to tell you what I kind of like. You do with this what you will. Hey, I kind of like Leicester over Palace. Hey, I kind of like Chelsea to beat Watford. Hey, I kind of like Brighton to beat Norwich. Hey, I kind of like Villa to keep it close against Liverpool. Do with that what you will. Oops. I also kind of like more than 2.5 goals for Arsenal Wolves. Don't tell anybody I told you. And that's going to do it for this week's Talking Soccer Podcast. Thanks for listening. Adios!